Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am introducing a new company to the show. The company is called Contango Ore, traded on the NYSE under the symbol CTGO. I am chatting with the president and CEO, Rick Van Nieuwenhuizen. Now, Contango was a company that stood out to me when I was at the Beaver Creek Conference. I met with Rick. We went over the story, and I have to admit, this is one that I did not know much about, but after chatting with Rick, I like the couple different avenues that the company is working on in terms of growth. The company has a development and also exploration angle to it. Let's start off with the development side of things. Now, the company is, in a way, partnered with Kinross at this Manh Choh property. Kinross, 70% owner. Contango is a 30% non-operating partner here. My understanding, big picture, was that Contango needs to raise about 30% of the development costs. Kinross will move this asset further into production by also utilizing their Fort Knox property and Fort Knox Mill. And Contango, as long as they raise that money, will then benefit from that ongoing operation or production at Manh Choh. Rick, give us some more insights into how this deal agreement with Kinross came together, please.
Well, sure, Corey. So this all started about 2 years ago, almost exactly 2 years ago. We signed an agreement with Kinross for them to own a 70% interest in the project. And that half of that came from our interest, 30% came from ourselves, and 40% came from our former joint venture partner, Royal Gold. Contango found this deposit. It's a high quality deposit right next to the Alaska Highway. And I joined the company a little over 2 years ago now, and this project kind of gotten high centered because the former joint venture was Royal Gold. And Royal Gold, as you know, is a royalty company and is not really in the business of being an operator. And so when I came on board, I organized an arrangement whereby Kinross could come in, take out Royal Gold's interest. Royal Gold would get a royalty, and we would get an operating partner. And the unique thing about Kinross is that it owns and operates the Fort Knox Mill, and has for 25 years, just located just outside of Fairbanks here where I live. But it was under capacity. It had plenty of capacity to be able to process other ores. And as I think everybody knows, Fort Knox was a very low-grade deposit and still is a very low-grade deposit. So bringing the high-quality ore from Manh Choh really sort of helps out the Fort Knox operation, as well as obviously getting our project developed without all the burdens of raising the capital to build a mill and a tailings facility, with all the headaches of permitting a new tailings facility, which would obviously take some time here in the U.S., as I think everybody's seen with other projects, and of course the sheer construction challenges of building a new mill and tailings facility. So we kind of avoid all of that by having an arrangement with Kinross, where they now own 70% of the project. We retain the 30% interest. But as you say, it's a pay-as-you-go. So we've got to come up with our share of capital here, which, combined with the other things that we want to do in the company is about $60 million. So we've had a whole series of good meetings where I met you at Beaver Creek. We had some 50 meetings and another 30 meetings at the Denver Gold Show the week later. So obviously, a lot of interest in what we're doing. There's not very many projects out there that can get into production as quickly and with such a low execution risk that we can.
Can you give us some of the high-level economics on this Manh Choh project in terms of overall resource and any of the other economics that you can share with us to judge profitability?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's a very unique deposit in terms of grade. It's 8 grams per ton. It's just around a million ounces of gold equivalent, averaging 8 grams per ton in an open pit mining scenario. We're located right next to the Alaska Highway, which allows us to transport the ore easily up to the Fort Knox Mill using commercial highway trucks. Capital costs are going to be about $180 million. We've already spent about $30 million of that this year, and we've agreed with Fort Knox, Kinross Fort Knox, that they're actually going to purchase the highway truck fleet. So that knocks another $30 million off of the capital. So going forward, we'll need to raise about $40 million for our share of Fort Knox and for covering the company's business and what we want to do at our other project, Lucky Shot, which I'm sure we'll talk about here shortly. That's what adds up to the $60 million. So our all-in sustaining costs are going to be in around the $1,100 area. We're still finalizing our numbers because I mentioned the arrangement with Fort Knox on the trucks. So they'll purchase the trucks, but then they'll charge them back to the joint venture. And so our all-in sustaining costs will be affected slightly upwards as a result of not having to put $30 million up front for those trucks. So there's some balance points there and, higher operating costs, but lower capital costs for our shareholders there.
Rick, what's the timeline on when this money could be due? Is it stages of payments? Is it a lump sum? Give us some insights here.
Yeah, so we have quarterly cash calls. We just made the last one for this year. So the next one will be towards the end of the year for the first quarter of next year. If you take the $40 million that we have left to spend our share and divide it roughly by four payments, probably a little less in the winter months just because things will slow down in that first quarter of next year. But then I'd say the next three quarters will be full on busy getting everything ready for production, first production in 2024. Hopefully, if things go well, it'll be early in 2024. But obviously, everything seems to take longer in this post COVID world we live in. So, right now we're just sort of guiding second half of 2024 for full production, and we'll be producing. The mine will produce about 225,000 ounces of gold equivalent per year. Our share would be 67,500. And again, all-in sustaining costs, somewhere in the $1,100 neighborhood. So in today's price environment, you've got a $500-$600 margin there.
Okay, so that's the development angle of this company. There is also some exploration going on at Manh Choh, but let's talk about the company's 100% owned projects here and the focus. It sounds like being at this Lucky Shot property. Give us a little background on this project, please.
Yeah, so Lucky Shot's it's an interesting project because it was an active gold mine turn of the century, 1920s, late 1920s to 1942, when President Roosevelt used the War Act to shut down all gold mining in the United States, and that's the last time this mine was in production. When it was shut down, it had produced 250,000 ounces of gold at an average grade of 40 grams per ton. That's a little over an ounce and a half per ton. Average grade. Now, there's only been two significant periods of exploration since 1942, and there's not been any mining on the project. In 1980, a company called InSearch Oil and Gas decided to get into the gold mining business and built a 100-ton-a-day mill and put an adit in to get underneath the previously mined ore, and got about two-thirds of the way there before their board of directors said, why are we in the gold business? And of course, at that time, gold price had gone from $800 an ounce to sub 250. And so they just walked away. That was in 1982. They just basically left the mill to the underlying landowner and walked away from the underground workings. And then not until 2005 did another company come in and did some exploration, Canadian company called Full Metals out of Vancouver. And they drilled on an adjacent property called the Coleman property, which is the same vein. It's a Lucky Shot vein. It's just on a separate claim and adjacent to the Lucky Shot claim. And they drilled out about 120,000 ounces of gold, averaging about 18 grams per ton. They drilled that from the top of the mountain, very steep mountain, using helicopter-supported rigs. But had their development plan was to build a tramway down to the old mill across the valley. And that was not a good plan. It basically turned into a financial disaster for the company. And so the project was abandoned. And that's really the last, those are the only two real exploration programs that have happened. We've come in, acquired the property a little over a year ago, and we just finished with inserts that started with the underground tunnel. It was the right idea, get underneath the ore body. So we're underground now. We're just finishing our western drift in the footwall of the vein, and we're getting ready to drill the heck out of the vein from the footwall. And that's what you have to do with these high-grade veins. You need a lot of drill holes. We'll be drilling them on sort of 20, 25-meter centers from the footwall added. These will be relatively short holes, so, you know, 30 meters to 70 meters in length, and drilled in a fan pattern from underground. Probably be getting, you know, sort of more 4, 5, 6 holes done a week, and getting drill results once we get sort of up on step, if you will. We'll be, you know, releasing a lot of drill hole results every 1 or 2 weeks. We've hit the vein. We've done pilot holes, so we know exactly where the vein is in the tunnel. From two drill bays on either side of the tunnel where inserts finished off, so we know the vein's there. And the old adage for high grade veins is, you know, drill for structure, drift for grade. So that's exactly what we're going to do on this one. We'll finish up the underground work on the western drift in another couple of weeks, and then we'll move the drill rig in and just start drilling the heck out of this thing, and then do the same thing on the western, on the eastern side. So a lot of news flow coming out of Lucky Shot. And again, this was a high grade vein. So it's what's called a mesothermal vein. They tend to go a long ways and have a good continuity of grade.
Now, how much do you expect the drill program to cost, say, in the next year when you do get underground here?
Yeah, so this year's program is $10 million, and next year's program is going to be in that same order of magnitude, around $10 million as well. Once you're underground, we can work year-round. We're all set up for winter operations. You know, we do get a fair bit of snow in the area, so we're very cognizant of the potential for avalanches. We bought an avalanche cannon, and we have a contractor who does this for a living, so we'll have, you know, good preventative avalanche control measures put in place so we can safely operate year round.
Okay. Rick, also talk about share structure here. There's only about 6.8 million shares outstanding. Take us through what else we should know about the share structure, a $20 million convertible that's there, as well as insider ownership, please.
Yeah, so yeah, we've been very prudent with our shares. We're all significant shareholders. As you mentioned, I think insiders control about 35%, along with some of our other institutional shareholders. It probably brings it up close to 50. We've got about $14 million in the bank right now. As I said earlier, we will be raising money here in the near term, probably, you know, a combination of debt and equity. We've got a, you know, very robust project with good economics and a great operator in Kinross, and very, again, very low execution risk. So I think putting a debt facility in place makes a lot of sense.
Look, you do need to raise money here. You do need to raise a substantial part of money, but that will go towards some direct potential profitability here with an asset going into production, as well as some early on exploration. What is your assessment for raising this chunk of cash?
Well, Corey, you know, the gold market has not been not had a stellar year by any stretch. Our share price has done pretty well. I think we've held up very well. But in general, the gold market has not reacted to inflation the way, you know, I think a lot of people would expect. But I think that's mainly because we have such a strong dollar. And I don't think it's anybody really believes we have a super strong dollar. It's just that it's stronger than all the other weak currencies. So that'll sort itself out. We can't have a strong dollar forever. The Fed can't keep increasing rates forever. At some point, it has to pivot. The dollar will come off, and I think the gold price will do what gold price usually does, which is retain its value. And that's why people invest in gold. And now is a good time to invest in gold. It's trading at a relative low compared to the currencies and compared to you know, whatever metric you want to sort of use out there. I think it's actually a good time to get invested in gold for investors. And I think our story stands out because we're going to put this $40 million to work, generating, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $40 million a year in free cash flow. So I think that's a strong story. Plus, we've got a good exploration story in Lucky Shot, and we've got a lot of exploration potential at Manh Choh itself. We're spending $3 million this year, and we'll probably spend something like that next year, just exploring right around the area where we found the roughly 1 million ounces of 8 grams. So we have the mineral rights to an area the size of Rhode Island with the lease we have with the Tetlin tribe. So it's a big area to explore, and it's fee simple land. So, minimal permitting to be done there. So I see a lot of upside at Manh Choh, and I've got, I think Lucky Shot's going to give us a good shot at developing our second mine in Alaska.
All right, Rick, thank you again for, first of all, taking the meeting at Beaver Creek and then also coming on the show to provide this intro interview for everyone. Everyone listening, I will post a link to the company's website below this interview. You can read over the presentation. And if you have any follow-up questions or want any more information on any aspect of the company, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Rick, thanks again for your time. Thanks for the intro.
Corey, thanks very much. Good to be here.